Okay, to better understand what I want to talk about, we need to first think about Hebrews 11. And like I said, Hebrews 11 is a chapter that describes faith and mentions select individuals who exhibit great faith. Now, these were not all extraordinary people who accomplished normal things. They accomplished extraordinary feats of faith. And then the writer of Hebrews wrote about the others. Now, I want to read about those others. So now I'm on the right track. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I'll read this again. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So some of them were tortured. Now that Greek word for tortured means to be beat like a drum. And what they would do, they would put the person that was going to be beat like a drum, they put them on a big wheel, tied them to a wheel, and then they would beat them with a stick or flog them with leather strips. Some were chained and put in prison. Not just put in prison, but chained in prison. Some of those were stoned to death. Some of the others were sawed in half. It's believed that Isaiah the prophet was sawed in half. Some of the others were killed by the sword. Some of those became outcasts and had to leave their homes to live in caves in order to survive. Yet, all those others, they all received God's approval. Approval because they kept their faith. Those others all anticipated receiving what God had promised concerning his kingdom. However, they did not receive the promise. They died in faith, believing God would do what he promised. They believed in an eternity. Overall, Hebrews 11 shows us how men and women stood firm in their commitment to the Lord, no matter what the cost. Now, this is my main text right here, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, in other words, because of what was written in Hebrews 11, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, here's what that cloud of witnesses means. It does not mean let me tell you what it does mean first. The word cloud is a metaphor to represent a huge group of believers in heaven. It's a metaphor. The phrase cloud of witnesses refers to those named in Hebrews 11 as examples of faith. So here's what the cloud of witnesses does not mean. It does not mean that those within the cloud of witnesses are looking down from heaven, seeing how we're living out our lives. It does not mean that those within the cloud of witnesses sees all the good, bad, and ugly that we might do. That's not what it means. Now, although for some, it might be comforting to believe that their loved ones who have passed are included in that cloud of witnesses, but the cloud of witnesses does not mean that our loved ones are looking down, witnessing our actions. The cloud of witnesses are those spoken of in Hebrews 11. I would hate the thought that my mother's in heaven look in that cloud of witnesses, looking down at everything I do. How would you like your mother to look at everything that you do from heaven? No, that's not what it means. But it's comforting to think that, you know, sometimes. Now, in a commentary, a very famous commentary called Barnes Notes Commentary, he says this about the cloud of witnesses. Now, listen carefully. It cannot be fairly inferred from this that he means to say that all those ancient worthies were actually looking at the conduct of Christians and saw their conflicts. It is a figurative representation such as is common and means that we ought to act as if they were in sight and cheered us on. How far the spirits of the just who are departed from this world are permitted to behold what is done on earth, if at all, is not revealed in the scriptures. We don't not know. Okay, now with that in mind, I'm going to turn the boat just a little bit, so stay with me. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging believers to do three important things in running their race of faith to eternity. And these three things are found in one scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Number one, Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, obviously, sin will greatly hinder the race of a believer. That's so obvious. But there are many other things that can hinder a believer's race that is not considered sin. For example, joining a worthy group that consistently takes you out of your Shabbat services. It violates Scripture, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us keep paying attention to one another in order to spur each other to love and good deeds, not neglecting our own congregational meetings, as some have made a practice of, but rather encourage each other. The way I see it, a congregation is like a charcoal pit, a big charcoal pit, and all the charcoals are we're all lit. We're all a little piece of charcoal. And all of a sudden, somebody quits congregating together. See these charcoal, they keep each other lit. One charcoal says he has an opportunity to do this and that on Shabbat. He has a choice, but he makes the wrong choice and he leaves the group. So what happens after? Well, he stays lit for a while, but after a while, that charcoal starts going out. You see, the only way it heats up again, put it back in with the congregation of charcoal. It'll catch fire again. And this is one of the benefits of meeting together. We keep each other lit with encouragement. Just being here is an encouragement. Number two. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, to entangle means to circle something to delay and ultimately block their progress. Now, in context to what the book of Hebrews is all about, I lean towards believing the sin, that's singular here, the sin that so easily entangles is referring to believing Jews here. Messianic Jews returning to traditional Judaism and ignoring the teaching of Yeshua and the freedom he brings. Now today, in the body of Messiah, I believe it's totally valid to apply that same exhortation to get rid of the sin that is entangling you. So the question is there a particular sin that's holding you back from the will of God? You know something's the will of God. You know it. You know God wants you to do this. But because of your sin, you feel guilty or you just feel you can't fulfill the will of God. This happens to far too many believers. To get rid of sin is not so easy because that sin many times is habitual and you got to break that habit. Number three in Hebrews 12, 1. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Our race is not a sprint. It's a marathon with hills, and I'm telling you, many valleys. And our race requires endurance to finish. In Romans 5, verse 2, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in your sufferings. Come on now. Because we know. Oh, you got to know this enable to rejoice in your sufferings. Suffering produces perseverance or patience. Endurance, hanging in there. Your suffering produces you hanging in there, even when you're suffering. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So many people go through hardships, physical hardship, mental hardships, financial hardships, relational hardships, and it causes them such pain that they quit serving God. They give up the race. But see, enduring or hanging in there and going through it, it's actually builds something in your character. Perseverance helps to build the character that God is looking for. So, Frank, how in the world can I stay encouraged as I'm running my race? Well, besides reading your Bible in prayer and continuing attending congregational weekly meetings, Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 3 gives us an effective and tried and proven answer. Hebrews 12, 1. I'm going to go down to verse 2. No, I'll start with the beginning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. You have to do it. Throw it off. That hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, here we go. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, or Yeshua in our case, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. To fix our eyes on Yeshua means we make an effort to stay focused on him instead of focusing on our trouble. Now, when you have trouble, what happens is we have a tendency to focus in our trouble, and who Yeshua is in our life gets off to the side. Now, for many of us, I've seen, and I'm hoping not you, but people in the past, I've seen so much of this. Far too many quit running the race because of strained relationships. Someone said this to somebody, and he goes, I can't be part of that family anymore. That's a family. I'm going to go someplace else. They were offended. Well, instead of handling it in a scriptural way, they leave. Then they go to another congregation. They get offended there. They leave there. Before you know it, they're a tumbleweed in the body of Messiah. They have no root. Reminds you of the story about the young guy. He's talking to his mother. He says, Mother, I'm never going back to that congregation again. I don't like them, and they surely don't like me. Mother says, you know what? You have to go back. You're the rabbi. Listen, we are called not to cause divisions. You hear what I'm saying? You do not want to be an instrument in causing a division within this congregation. But here's what you do. You can show mercy and love. We're called to show love, are we not? We can give mercy. We are not called to render evil for evil. Ah, she said this to me, I'll say this about her. No, it doesn't work that way. We're not called to render evil for evil, because in doing that, we produce the Hatfield and McCoys. And then what happens to love in the body of Messiah? It dissipates. In John 13, 34, Yeshua gives a new commandment. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment that we're going to be held accountable for. And that's to love one another. John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you. Very simple. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, let's be logical. Do you think Yeshua discontinued loving those disciples that unintentionally wronged him? Huh? You think so? He knew that Peter denied him. Did he get offended and say, forget you, Peter? You're on your own. You're going to hell. No. He loved. We're to fix our eyes on Yeshua. Have you ever heard of the law of focus? The law of focus. Let me teach you the law of focus. Now, put your finger in front of your face. Okay? Put your finger in front of your face. Everybody do this. Now, focus in on it. I'm focused in on my finger. I can still see what's going on here and what's going on here, but I'm focused. You can only focus on one thing at a time. So we're to focus on Yeshua. Not that we're ignorant or stupid about our needs and what we're going through, but we need to stay focused on Yeshua. We're all individually running our race. And the greatest example is not those witnesses of Hebrews 11. Our greatest example is Yeshua, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's to be our perfect example as we're running our race over hills. I like when I'm on the hills and in the valleys. I don't like to be in the valley, but I find myself growing more in the valley than on the hills. Well, Frank, what was the joy that was set before him to endure all that he endured? The joy set before Yeshua was his final victory over Satan, sin, and completing God's work of redemption for all the world who would receive it, and then sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. See, this tells me that Yeshua's, that God's left-handed, because Yeshua's sitting down on his right hand, or at his right hand. That's not a very good story. See, these things pop in my mind, middle of a message. Like Yeshua, no matter how deep and wide the valley, we must remain and not become weary and discouraged to the point of giving up the race. You hear what I'm saying? This message is a message of encouragement and warning. Don't give up the race. It can be fun to give up the race. You might be popular in giving up the race, but you don't give up the race. Like Yeshua, we need to persevere with endurance to the finish line to win the race. Now, brother Bob, who just passed away, he finished his race, and I believe he finished quite well. And when you breathe your last breath and stand before Yeshua, you'll receive your greatest joy, your heavenly reward, your prize. We've got to think down the road. Some of us are further down the road than others. You never know when you're going to breathe your last breath. So you give it all every day you got. Young people don't think that way. But when you hit in your middle 40s, you start thinking that. Who knows? Only God knows. Will I wake up in the morning? Will I not wake up in the morning? We all need to finish our race. And my prayer is that each and every one of you, each and every one of you, you finish your race. Finish it. And finish it well. You say, well, I'm this age. I don't need to run my race so strong. No. You keep running. You keep involved. God has given you gifts and abilities in each and every one of you. I don't care what your age is, what your condition is. See, I can't do anything. Yeah, you can pray for others. Let's all finish our race and finish it well. We'll finish it together in Yeshua's name. Let's all stand together. I'm going to end with a song. I've decided to follow Yeshua. Now, most of us know this song. So easy. Just follow along with me. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. No turning back, no turning back. Let's sing that again. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. I have decided to follow Yeshua. No turning back, no turning back. We don't turn back. We keep going forward. Let's all receive the blessing. Yavarech Adonai vayishmarecha. Yer Adonai panav alecha vichunecha. Yisei Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace in your heart as you're running your race to eternity. In Yeshua's name, we all said, amen. God bless you. I love you a lot. If you have a prayer need, we have people, elders up here, that'll pray for you in Jesus' name. Amen.